How's everybody doing this morning? I was going to use an eclipse joke, but it's already been used. So as you can see, the title of my message this morning is Religion or Relationship? Religion or Relationship? So I want you to think a moment. Think about why you're here this morning sitting in this seat. Is it because of religion? Or is it because of relationship? See, we have multiple relationships in our life. We have relationships. We have relationships right here. And in the body, in the church, we have relationships. Some are casual acquaintances. Some are really good friends. Some are people you see every Sunday. Some are people you see through the week. We have relationships at work. We have people that work for us. We have people we work with. We have people we work for. Those are all relationships of some kind or another. You've got something vested in every one of these relationships. We have parents. We have kids. We have in-laws and outlaws. We have family of all kinds. We have relationships with those people. Why did God create us? Why did He, the Creator, did He make us to be puppets? Something for Him to play with when He got bored of the galaxy and this universe is far away, He'd come back and play with His puppets? Did He create us to be servants, to do His wishes all the time? Or did He create us to be in relationship with Him? See, that's why He created us. He wants a personal relationship with us. So why are you here this morning? Is it because of religion? As Pastor Jim says, are you here because you want to get your get out of hell free card? Or are you here because you want a relationship, a true relationship with God? About 2 months ago, I was in one of my morning Bible studies. I came across this, and it was an elderly couple in their 90s who had been disciples of Christ, followers of Christ their whole life. They were getting on in years in their 90s, and they decided they wanted to pen a letter to their kids to pass on some of the things about their lives to their kids. Because sometimes we are horrible as parents. Sometimes we don't pass on that history to our kids that we should. We don't talk about things with them that we should. So this mom and dad sat down, and one of the things I saw in that letter, one of the things they put in there that really stood out was, if you find that Christianity exhausts you, draining you of your energy, then you are practicing religion rather than enjoying a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your walk with the Lord will not make you weary. It will invigorate you, restore your strength, and energize your life. Religion or relationship? I'm going to read this one more time. If you find that Christianity exhausts you, draining you of your energy, then you are practicing religion rather than enjoying a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your walk with the Lord will not make you weary. It will invigorate you, restore your strength, and energize your life. And throughout the Bible, we're reminded of that. You know, if coming to church, if having quiet time with the Lord and studying His Word, if interacting with fellow Christians, if serving, if loving, makes you weary, you're not in a relationship with God. You're practicing religion. That makes you weary. Putting on that religious face, practicing religion, trying to keep up appearances, that makes you weary. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So you know what Jesus is really speaking to here? Are those who are weary of the slavery of sin and the guilt that comes with it. He's not talking about weariness from putting in a hard day's work. He's not talking about that physical weariness that we get when we go to work and put in 8 hours or 9 hours or 10 hours or whatever. He's talking about that weariness in our souls that we can have from sin and the guilt that comes with it. All you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn. See, we tend to forget that. Learn. And learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why his yoke is easy? Because it was finished on the cross. It was done. Jesus said, "It is finished. There's no more work to do. It's done." He completed it on the cross. That's why his yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon you. See, we need to learn to rest in his salvation and forgiveness. Not be burdened by the sin and the guilt. We need to rest in his salvation and forgiveness and love. That's part of that relationship. See, he loved us so much. God loved us, gave us his son who loved us, who gave his life so that we don't have to be burdened. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Typically, you're only going to hear 29 or 30 through 31, but I like to start with 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He will not grow tired or... How can someone who created everything grow tired and weary? Says he will not. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's what that relationship is about. Drawing or renewing our strength in Christ and God. Even in service, because we are called as disciples of Christ to be in service, we should not be, it should not drain us to be in service. We should be doing it for the love of that relationship, for the love of fellow Christians and disciples of Christ, for the love of those who don't know God. We all have friends and family members who don't know God. So the things that we do in service to God that they see should be done in love. It shouldn't drain us to do that. And the other thing is, in service, yes, we serve our Father in heaven. That's the key. He's our Father, not our boss. See, there's a difference in that. There's a difference in that relationship and why we serve and how we serve. He is our Father and not our boss. That's a different relationship. Boss and Father are two different relationships. Psalm 91 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And then verse 14 and 15, "Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show my salvation." That's what God wants for us. He wants that relationship. You know, think about, we talk about the boss and our Father, God our Father. Think about your relationship with your Father and the difference between that relationship and the relationship with your boss. Boss, father, two different relationships. Has anybody's boss ever said this to you? "Because you love me, I will rescue you. I will protect you if you acknowledge my name. If you call on me, I'll answer you. I'll be with you in trouble. I'll deliver you and honor you. I will honor you with long life, and I will satisfy you. And I'll show you my salvation as a boss." Doesn't work that way. Two different relationships. I've read this before, Psalm 23. So I want you to kind of get a picture in your mind of what this relationship built on love with our Father in heaven should look like. I love Psalms 23. To me, it's a perfect example of that relationship. A Psalm of David, verse number 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Now we could stop right there. We could just finish right there. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." What does that mean to you? What did God mean by that? I lack nothing. If we have His love, if we are in relationship with Him, what more do we need? He's promised us eternal life. He didn't promise us a cushy job. He didn't promise us, each and every one of us, wealth. He didn't promise that there would not be hard times in our life, but what He said was, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Me as an individual who is in relationship with God, and we're all individuals, we can't get to heaven on our dad's shirt tail or our mom's skirt or our friend's preaching, or we are individuals in individual relationship with God. Okay? In that relationship, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." You know, every time I read that, every time I read that, I'm reminded of an Easter when I was growing up. I grew up in Northern California at the southern end of the Cascade Mountains, kind of the north to the north and, or I'm sorry, to the south and east of us was Sierra Madres, the Sierra Mountains. So we sat in this valley between the Cascades and the Sierras. And elevation was pretty high, about 4,000, 4,200 feet. And to the southeast of us was the Clear Lake Hills that headed into the Sierras. And so I remember an Easter. My dad had this old Jeep Wagoneer, and I had three brothers, and my mom packed up a big picnic lunch. It was sunny skies. It was a beautiful day. It was cool, you know, in April down there. It's cool. Packed up this big picnic lunch, and we headed to the Clear Lake Hills. We ended up in this. It was a huge meadow. Some trees kind of around the meadow, but it was open, and there were these natural springs running through this meadow. It was sunny. The grass was green. All of my family was there. And I just remember how peaceful I was as a child. I don't know, maybe 10, 11 years old. How peaceful it was. And when I read this, it takes me back there. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Pastor Jim, Pastor Henry, Pastor Lee have all talked about allowing God to be our light. There's so many verses that talk to us about him being the lamp to our feet, to guide us, to take us where he wants us to go, because he loves us. Not down this path, as Pastor Jim would say, because there's pain and sorrow and hurt down that path if you go that way. This is the path I want you to take. If we're in relationship with him, if we love him, we're going to follow his lamp. We're going to save ourselves so much heartache. I know I'd like to go back and undo a few paths that I went through. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is, he's waiting for us. He's got a room for us. He's got a place for us. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This, to me, and it may be different for you guys, but to me, this is a picture of our Father in heaven and what this relationship, this loving relationship, looks like. Is that religion or is that relationship? So let me ask you this. How do we pursue that relationship with our Father? How do we do that? Well, how do you pursue a relationship here on earth? How do you do that? I'm going to tell a little story on myself. Been married to this young lady over here for, no, not Sue. I've been married to this young lady over here for almost 36 years. This November will be 36 years. But how did that relationship start? Some of you know how it started. She chased me. Actually, it didn't start that way. So a young 18-year-old, let's see, this would have been 1970. Yeah, I would have been 18 years old. No, 19 years old. I remember the first time I met my wife. Now, we were not in a relationship or anything. Did not know her. She didn't grow up where I grew up. Her dad was a Presbyterian minister, and they moved to Tule Lake, California, which is where I was from, her senior year of high school. And this would have been about January of 1980. And I was not a Christian. I didn't serve the Lord. And it was a late evening, probably a Friday or Saturday night, and I'm in town, small town. You know how you drag Maine? Well, you guys don't know how you drag Maine, but back when I was a kid, young teenager, you drug Maine. You drove up and down. Why, I don't know. I look back on it now. What were we doing? But we would drive from one end of town to the other, and just we drug Maine. And a friend of mine had pulled over, so I pulled over next to him on Main Street. He got out. Another friend of mine got out, and Mary Ann got out of the truck. And I'm like, who's that? So he says, oh, I want you to meet Mary Ann. Her dad's a new pastor in town. Okay. For fear of being struck by lightning, I decided right then and there, there was no sense in going anywhere near this girl. That was in January. Over the months, I sort of started, you know, she started interesting me for some reason. I kind of started getting this, So she's a pastor's daughter. God really wouldn't strike me by lightning. Yeah, maybe I'll start pursuing this. Through the months, we got to know each other better and better. To the point where I started having feelings for her. I wanted to go out with her. I wanted to ask her out. I wanted to get to know her better. So I didn't really have the guts to ask her out. We're at a party. Now, Mary Ann did not. She went to parties, but she did not drink. Didn't drink, didn't do anything like that. And we're sitting at a party, and she is in between me and this other friend of mine who, I say he's a friend of mine, he's an acquaintance of mine. He was really into drugs, alcohol, not really a good guy. And I hear him ask Mary Ann, he goes, what are you doing Friday night? I elbowed her. Boom. She turned around to look at me before she could answer him. She turned around to look at me, and I said, you're going out with me Friday night. And she goes, I guess I'm going out with Randy Friday night. So there began our relationship dating. Okay? Now we're at this point, we're probably 6 months into this. It's slowly we're developing this relationship, okay? I desired to know her, to be closer to her, to find out who she was, to find out what she was about. This relationship continued to develop. I think by this time she kind of had a little thing for me. I don't know. A year later, I asked her to marry me. I was in love with her. You don't start out in love, okay? Relationships don't start out that way. But if it's what we want, if it's what we pursue, if it's, they end up in love. for 36 years. I've continued to nurture that relationship, and it's continued to grow in love. See, that's what God wants from us. How do we get from here to there with God in relationship? Typically, it starts out with, who is God? Who is this God? Well, I want to find out more about God. And then the relationship continues to develop if we pursue it. If I had not pursued her, there's 3 grandkids, there's 2 kids that God would have not put on this earth. If I had not pursued that relationship and she had not reciprocated in that relationship, what would we have missed out? Now, I will tell you this. Marriage is not easy. It's not. At about the 5-year point, Marianne was pregnant with Rachel at that time. At about the 5-year point, we decided to divorce. Thankfully, God interceded. I look back now and I think, okay, that was 31 years ago that we sat down and decided it was time for us to give up on this marriage. 31 years ago. Do you know how many things we would have missed out on? Do you know how many memories we have together in those 31 years? With our kids, with our grandkids, if we would have listened to the world and not listened to God, I would have destroyed 31 years of relationships, of memories, of love. God doesn't desire that for us. Talking about going down the wrong path, we were getting ready to go down the wrong path. Not because of what God wanted, but because of what we wanted. That's why it's important for us to be in relationship with God. Amen? Amen? Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. John 7:37-38. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And you know what's really cool about this relationship, this us seeking Him? He seeks us as well. It's not just one-sided. It was never one-sided. Well, it started out kind of one-sided, but it takes 2 people, 2 married people, it takes both sides to make that relationship work, to make that love work. The give and take, the forgiving, the grace, the mercy. Luke 19:1-10. Now, Jesus is speaking to Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector and considered the lowest of the low. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner? He has gone to be the guest of a sinner?" Did you see that? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." We were all lost. Every single one of us were lost. But Christ came to seek us and to save us, because he loved us. That's his relationship with us. He loves us. Religion or relationship? Why are we here today? I hope it's for relationship. Romans 8, 28 through 30. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." In all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." We are all brothers and sisters in here. "And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So what's God's will? For us? What's it say? "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For it's God's will in Christ Jesus for us." That's why you're looking for a motivation to love God. Go back and look at the verses we read today. Because he loved us first. Loved us so much. Well, first of all, he created us. Again, he didn't create us to be puppets. He didn't create us to be something that he comes back to play with when he's bored with the universe. You know, people create, humankind create things. But there's not a relationship in that creation. Man has created toys. Man has created electronics. Man has created all kinds of things, cars. We are creators. We have created things. But there's no relationship there. There's a difference in the creation that God made. He breathed life into us. Can we breathe life into an inanimate object? We can't. I'm going to have the praise team come up. While they come up, I'm going to read a poem. The title of the poem is called "Come," and it's by Rhonda B. Adams. Come to me, Jesus said. I'll make you fishers of men. Come follow me and don't look back. Embrace my will and plan. Come to me, O weary one. Lay your troubles at my feet. For I am near. My way is clear. Come listen as I speak. Come to me, ye sick and lost. My grace extends to you. For I am meek and low in heart. My rest is for you too. Come to me, those who grieve. I have a special place for you to dwell and abide in my loving grace. Come, my child, in me you'll find that peace you're longing for. The place is here, the time is now to knock on heaven's door. Amen. So religion or relationship? Where are you now in your walk with God? Is there a little religion mixed in with the relationship? You know what happens? We all can fall into that religion trap. All of us. That's why we have to stay on our toes. The enemy would love for us to be in the religion mode. He would love it. God wants us to be in relationship mode. If anyone out here today, here's what I'm thinking. If you want more relationship, come forward. Come up here so we can pray for you. Anybody wants that? You're in a place where you want your relationship to grow. Corporately, we can pray for you. If you're stuck maybe in that religion, or you've got religion and relationship kind of mixed up in there, come forward so we can pray over you. I'm going to give you guys a few minutes to think about this. Bow your heads. Anybody else? You know, whether you come forward or not, I'm going to pray for you. It really doesn't matter.
I just been sitting back there listening to this message, and I believe that there are some people here that are exhausted. They're tired. Their workload is getting to them. Everything else in life is getting to them. And when those things happen, you grow weary. You grow frustrated because we begin to focus on those things and let our relationship lax with God. It's not something that we do intentionally. It just happens. There's so many demands on our lives that we begin to focus on those things and our relationship with God begins to suffer. And when that happens, that's when you get tired. You get burdened. You get irritable. Every day you get up it's trudging along. And that is not how we are to live our lives. So if that is you, you just need a recharge. You need God to just give you that peace, that place that Randy talked about. And you just need your batteries just to be charged up. You're just running on fumes right now. You feel tired all the time. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. If that's you, come up here. And you know what? Step out. Don't care what other people think about you. You know, it's God says, come. If you seek me, make that step. So if that's you, set aside everything else and come up here and get prayed for, and God will meet you there. He promises that. But you got to make that first step, because God's not going to force himself on you. You've got to take that step. So Randy, go ahead.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, Father. Father, we sometimes allow our focus and our eyes to wander from you, to get away from the relationship that we have with you, Heavenly Father. And I just pray, Lord, that along with that forgiveness, Father, would come mercy. Not mercy that we deserve, Lord, because we don't deserve your mercy, Father, but you've promised us that because of your grace, we have mercy in you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for that. God, I just pray that you would quicken our hearts, quicken our spirits. Let our eyes focus on you, Lord. The desires you have for us, Father, in relationship, Lord. I pray, God, that we would just continue to focus on you, Heavenly Father. That we would allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. That we wouldn't shut it down. That we would listen. That we would let you take us to those quiet, still waters, Heavenly Father. To renew our strength. To renew our spirit. To lift us up where we need lifted up, Heavenly Father. That we would follow the lamp that is your Son, Christ Jesus. So that we would be in your will, Heavenly Father, not our will, but your will. That we may avoid the path that the enemy has laid down. Avoid the sorrow and the pain that is on those paths. We thank you, God, that you know each and every one of us. That you're in relationship, a separate relationship with each and every one of us, Father. We praise you, God. We give you all the honor and glory. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, a blessing upon every family here today. Every family that is represented here today, Heavenly Father. That they would go forth with your blessings and with your protection from the enemy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.